All right, so we completed the Mishnah yesterday. Right, what's she talking about? She needs to know Mizeh Mizeh. Now the Gemara is going to discuss.
Yeah, that sounds so simple.
Right, so today also the Gemara is going to go very quickly, and then we'll deal with all the issues that are outside of the Gemara or outside of the realm of what the Gemara is discussing right now. So we'll go quickly to the Gemara. Now the first part of the Gemara is asking to your question, which is who took the neder? Right, that's what the Gemara wants to know. Ibayluhu. Benidro plige, right? So that the argument here is benidro, right?
Yes,
benidro. Okay, benidro plige. Hidira zedzeh mai, right? So the question is, who initiated the nether? I mean that benidro was when he himself took the nether. I mean that he restricted himself in hana. He caused all his own problems, right? His own headaches. Right, but what happens when the other party is the one who takes the nether? I mean that you have Reuven and Shimon who live together in this, small chatzer, and then Reuven goes ahead and restricts on himself, right, hana from Shimon. That we understand. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. What happens if it's the other way around? That Reuven restricts hana on Shimon, his hana on Shimon, and Shimon restricts his hana on Reuven. So it's being imposed rather than voluntarily. Creating the hana, it's being imposed by the other party, this isur hana. Why should it make a difference? Me, I'm reading with Nadro, who the plige, that the only argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabban exists when the person themselves put themselves in that situation by taking the nether hana. Then maybe the Rabbanan will agree to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's position, that what? That you can walk into the area. Why? The chianusim damu, because you're an anus. How could it be, I mean the basic issue is, how could it be that your neighbor could restrict you from entering your own property? I mean, otherwise everybody could go ahead and take a nether and eliminate their neighbor, right? Force their neighbor out of the situation. Oh, Dilma, I feel be there is that plea. Maybe even in a situation where the other parties initiated, right? An outside party initiates the Isra Na, but they still argue in that case. Plegi Rabbana. Tashma. Haya echad mehem mudar hana mechaveiro. This is our Mishnah. Mishnah says that one of them was mudar hana mechaveiro. Plegi Rabbana. And the Rabbanan still argue. So over there, it says mudar hana. The Gemara at this point assumes, what does mudar hana mean? Right? That...
they did it to him.
Right. That mudar hana mechaveiro. That he is restricted in hana from his pen. Uplegi Rabbana. And yet, the Rabbanan still argue. So the Gemara says, Tani Nodur Mechaveru Hana. Right? No, you could say that it was that he restricted himself. I mean, Nodur Mechaveru Hana. Not that it was initiated by someone else, but rather that he was, in the passive form, right, Osir Bana from his friend, which means that he initiated the Isur Hana. So Gemara says, Halkinami Mistabro. This makes a lot of sense. Tani Seifa. So it says in the Seifa, but Kofi Meta Nodur Limkar Telko. We force him to sell out his portion of the chatzer, or his area, in order to eliminate the problem of the nether. Since this was your question. Alright, yeah, Mar Bishlama, the nether, right, that he himself took the nether, Heinuk Tana Kofi, then we can force him. Yeah, Mar the Adre, but if we say someone else, meaning that his neighbor, took the nether to force him out, Amai Kofi Noto, Hamin is Onis, why would we force him to sell out, but he's an Onis? Otherwise, you know, the easy solution to any neighborly dispute would be to restrict your neighbor in Hana, and then we cope in hotel, we force you out of there, right?
Yeah, you're on the other side of that property.
Right, exactly. That's right. If you want to, you know, buy out your neighbor, you need to take a nether. So the Gemara says it seems obvious that the case in the Mishnah must be a case where he is, right, taking the nether himself. If he takes the nether himself, he got himself into the problem, and that's what we're coping in hotel. We force him because he brought this problem upon himself. So now, that leaves the Gemara inconclusive. So, you know, the Gemara is not conclusive on this at all. And now the Gemara will move on to another topic. It's classic Nedarim, where we see a lot of this. Gemara poses a question, tries to bring a proof, right, eliminates that proof, and then just leaves the topic. So here, the Gemara, again, it's a bayadili of shito. It's a question that is not answered. All right.
Overstated in English here. Oscar says why he was forced into this predicament does not deserve to forfeit his share. I don't think he should forfeit. I mean, I guess they feel strongly that if you have something, that's why you're very sad when you sell, right?
Right.
Being forced to sell even at market value. But forfeit is hardly forfeit.
Right. Well, because he brought himself to the predicament. Right.
Also, it reminds me, like, the Perea. Remember the famous classic case about the guy's landlocked and he can't
get...
So we don't care, usually. I mean, you know, if it's logical, like, he should have an easement, let's say, easement by whatever, prescription, whatever. We don't care. I mean, but here it sounds like they're caring.
Right.
It doesn't make...
Well, here's a valid...
It's not fair, you know.
Right. Well, here's a valid claim. I mean, somebody else is eliminating his rights over there. He, in a way, caused his own problem by forgetting how he got into his field, right? So that he hasn't ever directed...
That's true.
The problem with his easement is that he just doesn't know where his easement is anymore. Right. So now the new topic, and this is a topic we discussed yesterday, about how does this Mishnah, what's the discussion of the Mishnah, what type of chutz there are we talking, speaking about in our Mishnah? So Amar Abba Amar Ziri, Machlokes B'sheyesh B'kidei Chaluka. Machlokes here is when there's the ability to divide up the property. That's when we have a machlokes of Ein B'kidei Chaluka, Divrei HaKol Mutar. That everybody would agree when there's not, it's indivisible, the property. I mean, it's smaller than the amount that would allow each of them to take a piece of property. Even the Rabbanim would agree to the position of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Amar Lei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said to him, Hari Beit Knesset. So we have further on in the parak that when they are mudar and zemizeh, that they can't use property that is owned by the town as a whole, or as the or the groups as a whole. They jointly own with other people. So Beit Knesset is a classic example of where there's joint ownership. Everybody's a member. Everybody has a certain amount of joint ownership, and therefore you cannot benefit from that property because he's a member of the property, right? So Amar Rav Yosef, Hari Beit Knesset, the Gemish Ein Bo Kedei Chaluka Dami. A Beit Knesset is an area where we say it's not divisible, because even though it's large enough to be divisible, but it's not in its function, it's not divisible. I mean, that only Beit Knesset as a whole is meaningful as a Beit Knesset. And therefore, if it's not, Shneihem Asurim, B'davar She'ota Ir. And we know that what? That when they take a mudar, when they're mudar or not, each one from the other, right, that would restrict them from using anything that belongs to the city as a whole. So that would preclude them from, right, using the Beit Knesset. So you see, even in an area where there is no chalukah, there's still this machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef's position is, and this is what we explained the Mishnah yesterday, Amar Ziyri, machlokas v'she'ein ba kedei chalukah. So machlokas is when it's indivisible, the property. But if it's divisible, everybody agrees it's asur, and we force you basically to divide it. Meaning that as long as it's not divided, right, so that'll be a question, actually, I shouldn't say that. Divrei HaKol Asur. So Amar Rabbi Alocha K'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar Alocha K'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Alocha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We have two more, I'm pointing that out. All right, so now a couple things. One of which I just kind of overstepped my bounds and said what it was, but I'm not sure it's true, because it happens to be a machlokas rishonim, which says here that if it's indivisible, the property, that's how we explained the Mishnah yesterday. When it's indivisible, the Ran explained the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov as such, that the Rabbanon believe that when I own a piece of property, ain breira, there's no breira, therefore I own 50% wholly, and the other 50%, I have a shibud on. I have an easement on the other 50%. And when he goes ahead and takes the neder, or the other party takes the neder, then he eliminates the shibud that I have. Because konamot, motzi midei shibud, right? A konamot eliminates a shibud, and therefore he loses my shibud. And then when I walk in, I fully own 50%, and I have no rights to the other 50% at this point. And when I walk in, since there's no breira, I could, everywhere I walk, I'm walking on 50% mine, 50% his, does not work. So they're about to say asur. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, there is breira. Right, and the way that Ryan explained it yesterday is that since the property is indivisible, we own, when we buy it, our intention is that at any moment in time, each of us owns 100% of it. It's not like that it's 50-50, but any time I want to use it, my usage entitles me to 100% of the property at that any given time. And that's the breira that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was talking about. And therefore, when I go in there, I'm walking on my own property. Whenever I'm in there, there's hufra davar, that when we bought it together, this was the time, or my timeshare period, and I own 100% of it while I am in the chutzar at that moment. So now, the question is, what about a chutzar sheyesh b'kedei chaluka, a divisible property? So in a divisible property, we said everybody, divrei HaKol Asur, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that it's Asur. Why? Because even though you don't divide it up, the fact that it was large enough to divide means that you never had this intent. When you bought it together, you didn't have intent to divide it. I mean, to keep it this way. And therefore, since it's divisible, right, we force you to divide in order to solve the problem. You take your 50%, I take my 50%, you'll know where you can walk. Right? So now, the question is, can you divide it? Right? And that happens to be a machlokas rishonim, of whether dividing it will help you over here. That happens to be, if you look, I don't know, I should look inside, right, that the Rabbeinu, the Rashba says, the Rashba writes, the Ran, if you look in the Ran, Aval, it's Ran's and Aval, it's in the widest lines of the Ran, 2, 4, 6 lines down. If you see the word Aval, if you skip one more line down and move to the end of it, it says, V'katav HaRashba. V'katav HaRashba Zal, Telomi Bai Kodim Chaluka, Dasurim, that before they divide it, they're certainly Asur. El Afilu Acha Chaluka Nami Asurim. Even if they do divide it, they are still Asur. Why? Because we can't say Freira. They become like lekuchim from each other, meaning that since the chachamim hold there is no such thing as breira, that even so, now he takes the nether. They haven't divided the property yet. They go ahead and they divide the property. Right? So now you can't say huvra adavra mafreya that this was what I owned all the way along, right? Because that's just not the case. Right? So he is restricted, and we say by doraisa there is no breira, and therefore you can't divide it up. And they're like the kuklos, one from each other. And therefore it doesn't work. But, he says, that's the Das Rashba. Then if you skip down about 2, 4, 6 lines in the Ran, towards the end of that line, it says, Lavar Rambam Zal. It says, Lavar Rambam Zal Kotav, Perek Zayim Ilchus and Darim, Ayushneim Shufim, Bechatsim, Yishba Din Chalukaga, Ayri Ilusrim Likareisba, Achi Yechloku. Until they do divide it. But if they do divide it, it's fine. Yikareis Kolechad Chalukal. Almas Vilei, the Achar Chaluka Shari. But nearly betamo. So I agree with what he says. This was their intent when they got together. Why would you want to be in a position where when you buy it, someone else could impede on your rights, right, in your chatzer? Because now someone else's, right, the way the darim work, we've said this in the past, and the darim can work is that I can answer my possessions on anybody else, right, or I can answer anyone else's possessions on myself. Why? Because in each of those instances, I have at least one part of the nether, either the object, or the person belongs to me that I have a right to. What you can't do is ask for somebody else's property on someone else. Right? And that's what's going to end up happening here. If we allow you, even after the chalukka, to say that the neder is still in effect and you're still not allowed to go in there, then basically we've come up with a situation where I bought a chatzer with you, we divide the chatzer, and you're able to restrict my own property on myself. Because you don't own that other half when it's divided up. Right? That half belongs to me. That's what I bought. That's my 50%.
But what are you saying that you should be able to enter through the 50% that doesn't belong to you?
No, not enter through there. No, just use your 50%. Yeah, you have 50%. In that 50%, there's access to your house. Otherwise, it makes no sense that you have 50%. But it's a process, chalukka. Obviously, both pieces have to reach the doorway. Otherwise, it doesn't make so much sense, right? The way it works, right, in the chalukka and Baba Basra is that you get the 4 amos directly in front of your door, and you get the 4 square amos or 8 square amos, depending on what the opinion is, in front of your door, plus then everything else is shared, or you can divide it up. If there's enough beyond those 4 amos each, then you can divide it up, and you split it evenly. So you split it so you both have rights or access to the doorway. But the Ran's pointing out that if you don't think that after chalukka, that the neder is no longer effective in blocking me from entering my property, you basically have a case where I have clear ownership rights, I own that half of the property, and I can't use it because my neighbor offered my own property on myself, which is impossible inside of Nidari.
So chronologically, we're talking about where they bought the property, right. Then the neder,
correct.
Then the chalukah.
Right. Correct. Okay. Right. And the Rashba says, well, that doesn't matter now because when you divide it up, there's no such thing as Brera. And when you're getting, whatever property you're getting is still 50% yours, 50% his. Right? And he still really has some ownership in there. Although, truthfully, he's a lakuach, right? He's a buyer. Right? And lakuchim, we said, once you buy something or changes hands, right, it's okay to you. Problem is that it only works when it's a third party who's buying it. Problem here is that you're buying it. So for instance, when you're restricted in Anah, it says, say, buy it, this Beit Cha is a sur, you can't go and buy the house from him and then it becomes mutar. It has to go through a third party. It has to be sold to a third party in order to become mutar. So over here, the problem with the Ran can't just say, oh, they bought it, so what? Okay, fine, you divide it up and it was no Hubra Dabar, they bought it from each other. Problem is that you can't transact with somebody that you're a sur with Anah in because that does not alleviate the problem. So the Ran has to come to this idea that when they originally bought the property together, prior to the nether, the intention is that I will get whatever my rights are in this property. Not that I don't buy it with the intention that you could actually have so much control that you could block me from entering here. And that's what the Ron says. It's not possible. And therefore, after the division, each one of you gets your own property and you can enter through your own property.
Yeah, but the Ramban says, he says, Shabbos, Cain, Ishtatsu. So what, theoretically, what if it makes a net in violation of that contract? It's really a contractual thing.
Anam Sade, right, so that's not the Ramban doesn't say that, that's the Ron explaining in the Ramban.
You can say it's very nice that they bought the property on that understanding, but he went ahead and did it anyway. Is it still a net or not?
Right.
You could have a, you know.
If it wasn't part of the original Shitafut agreement, then you think...
You can't do it.
You can't do it, because that's exactly the point.
He's
violating your rights.
Right.
He doesn't have the ability.
He doesn't have that power as from Neder. In my contract, from Neder, he doesn't.
Right, very good. I was just going to say that to you, that it's not, the Anan Sade is that he doesn't have ability to ask for this piece of property. It's not that he's undermining the ship.
It's lacking his Neder ability.
Okay, so right now, next piece in the Gemara. All right, so this is a little fun piece here. This is something we discussed yesterday about Schirus. So we're going to go back here into more detail again today about the issue of Schirus and dealing with the Schirus issue. And so now the Gemara says, Tfisat Yad, if he has a bathhouse in the neighborhood, and once he has a bathhouse in the neighborhood, then if he restricted you in Hano, even though the bathhouse is rented out, it depends on what his residual ownership was in the bathhouse. Okay, good. So there's the landlord. That's good. I should use a, right, we have to antecedents here with the, have to define them. All right, so the landlord who owns the merchatz restricted a third party he restricted Reuven in getting Hano from his merchatz. But in the meantime, the landlord has rented out the merchatz to someone else. To Shimon, right? So Shimon runs the merchatz because he rented it out from the landlord. The landlord had restricted Hana to Reuven. Can Reuven now enter the bathhouse? Who really owns it?
Restricted Hana to my bathhouse.
To my bathhouse. For any of my property, not my bathhouse. You've got to be careful with my property.
Bathhouse.
To any property, any of my property. The landlord says, Reuven, you're us, sir, and getting any Hana from me, period. Okay? So now, does his status as landlord of this merchatz matter? Meaning, because who's running the bathhouse? Is Shimon who's renting it? Who is providing all the services there? Shimon who's renting it. So now, does the landlord's restriction by non Reuven impact him when he goes to the bathhouse? That's the question at hand here. So the Mishnah said it depends on Tfisat Yad. Right? What type of residual ownership the landlord has in it. So what's the common Tfisat Yad? What is this residual ownership that the landlord has? So Rav Nachman, this is what we would have thought. The Mefsa L'Shlish U'L'Revio. If he has a percentage of the profits, meaning that the rentals happens in shopping malls all the time, strip malls, that there is a fixed lease agreement, but beyond that there's also a revenue sharing component to it. So that means that you rent it from me at a fixed price. For us, if your revenues exceed a certain level, then I also get a percentage of your revenues, a percentage of your profits. So what he's done is basically left himself ownership in the merchatz, because by the fact that he's not simply renting it for a fixed amount, but also gets a percentage of the profits, now when you go to the bathhouse, right, you are actually getting benefit from him, because every person that goes to the bathhouse provides money that's going to be divided, and he's going to get a percentage of that money.
But that's almost like shirtless anyway.
Right, it's correct. All right, it's a form of shukvus, which is, it's not exactly, because I didn't leave myself ownership, I only left myself profit sharing, but that's enough to generate a...
Yeah, but shukvus, partnership is sharing losses and gains. If you share losses too, then you really do shukvus.
Right, but the question is, I don't know, that's a question if he does share the losses here. It may be only a...
But if it was a set flat rent, wouldn't it be Tfisas Yad?
Right. Tfisas Yad, it sounds like that he has, there may not be any flat rent here, so there he would be, right, he'd be out of money if the guy doesn't make any money, because he would be getting no rent for it. But it's not clear that he didn't pay rent, because it depends on how you read the next line in the Gemara. Okay? Aval, the Batsir, I'm going to just say this, but Batsir, this is what reads in our Gemara, but less than that is no. So what does that mean? Less than a quarter? I mean, if it's less than, 25% profit sharing, then he's not, then it's too small. It's too small to matter, and therefore you're not, you're, I guess we call a minority, a serious minority owner, and you become a passive owner, and therefore it's not considered as if you're providing hanoah to this individual. That's the way to read it, the way we have in our Gemara. The other Rishon, the Rosh has a girsah, and the Ron doesn't read the Rosh, and Tosfos have different girsah called aval, the beitzim lo. Right? So Beitzim, now that even with that, with Beitzim, right, even if you change the gifts to Beitzim, it's not clear what the Beitzim are. Okay, so that's the, we'll have one possibility of what it means when it says Beitzim is in the Ran. The Ran has this gifts of Beitzim, and he says that there was a concession stand at the bathhouse. Right, so there was a concession stand that sold eggs at the bathhouse. Right, you always, right? Don't you always want eggs when you go to your bathhouse? Right, so they sold eggs when you went to the bathhouse.
I can't remember the last time that I went to the bathhouse and didn't get eggs. Right,
exactly. So there you go. So you have selling eggs. So if he retains the concession rights to sell eggs, right? So that is not considered enough. I mean, that it's considered a, I don't know, extraneous to the bathhouse itself. And therefore, since he doesn't have any rights in the bathhouse, when you go and benefit from the bathhouse, his residual rights to provide concession at the bathhouse is not enough considered him a shutaf or a partner in the bathhouse. And therefore, when Reuven goes and uses the bathhouse, he's not getting hanaa from landlord, Mr. Landlord.
Yeah, so the one who's prevented just can't buy
eggs. Right, exactly. Can't buy eggs.
He owns the parking garage.
Right, exactly. The parking garage concession. He does not have the bathhouse. He has no rights to. Okay, that's the way the Ran learns it. The other we're gonna get Rush and the Tosfos explain that Beitzim
is not clay,
that's something that's used by the Yotzer. Beitzim are the unformed clay are called Beitzim, clumps of clay. So what they use is
he doesn't have that business anymore. So he sold out that business. So he's not in that business anymore.
But I mean, in terms of the bathhouse,
he's got some other business now.
Right, but it's connected to the bathhouse because it's a right to sell the Beitzim in the bathhouse. It's like it's a baseball game. Owning the concession to sell the food, the concession rights to sell the food. So maybe there's some connection. You still have some rights that are involved.
But Beit HaYotzer, he provides the raw materials for the other.
This is not Beit HaYotzer. Is that they used to dry him in the bathhouse?
That's why they have that.
So he
the right to dry his own.
The rights to dry their right. He retains the rights to use the bathhouse for drying out the clay. So that's what it is. So he retains some sort of. So is that enough ownership? Again, is that enough ownership to consider him still? I mean, he is the landlord. In the end, he is the landlord of the property. He has rented it out. But once he's rented it out, how much of his rights has he given away? So that's what he's trying to determine. If he still retains profit sharing in it, that's not enough rights to give away. I mean, he still really is an owner, and therefore it's restricted and enough. If he gives all his rights except concession rights or drying rights, right, then, according to Rav Nachman, that's enough to eliminate his real ownership here.
What seemed to be the halacha was that in cases when somebody rents something out, let's say Goy is using his property and he works on Shabbos, and so he is, you know, are you liable for, is it a problem? So one of the criteria seems to be if you have the right to sell it to somebody else,
right?
And if you don't have the right to sell it to somebody else, then you're not really the owner,
right?
So it doesn't seem to be.
Well, we haven't gotten to the right to sell it from underneath this guy. That's the difficulty in the Gemara. We'll get to in a second is whether you can. The landlord can sell it out from under this renter. Right, we'll get to that in a second. But that's not. So far, we're just testing about profit sharing versus residual rights and concession, which don't make him a real true partner. And since he's not a true partner, then he's, when you go to the bathhouse, you're not really affecting the landlord, right? The landlord. So that's the two possibilities. They retain concession rights or retain drying rights. Those are the two possibilities. Now, Abaye Amar, Afilu Batzira, sir. Those concession rights or those drying rights are enough to still restrict Reuven from coming and using Mr. Landlord's bathhouse, because that's considered enough residual ownership. That residual ownership is enough to eliminate his ability to go there. So when is it? Motar Hechidami, the Shari de Mekabel Tashka. All right, so again, here are two explanations. Okay, so I guess,
as we said,
the Mekabel Tashka. What's Mekabel Tashka? So one possibility of Mekabel Tashka is that he's just paying Kotsuk the whole Shona B'Shona. He pays a fixed rent. Right, and then he takes full rights and ownership to the property. He can do whatever he wants with it, including concession rights, right, it's basically his. He's renting it at a fixed rate that would be the easiest way for me to understand. If I was, say, Tfisa Siad versus anything else, I'd say profit sharing versus fixed rent, right? And that's the easiest way to understand it.
What does that have to do with Butzer?
What?
Advisors a feeler, but
sir, because you still have residual rights in the bathhouse. Since you retained certain amount of ownership and the ability to use concession to dry stuff in there.
So Tasca excludes that.
Tasca says that when the renter took it, he took everything. I mean, that the renter now has the drying rights and the concession rights.
And the only thing.
And the owner has nothing left. I mean, the only thing he gets is his fixed, his annual payment or his fixed monthly payment, whatever it is, that he's collecting his rent. That he has no. I mean, even when you have concession rights and even when you have drying rights, that might have to do with the level of usage of the bathhouse. The level of bathhouse usage will affect your concession. So therefore, this guy's attendance and people coming to the bathhouse are benefiting you in some way because your concession rights...
Your concession.
Right, but that's what Abaye's saying. Abaye's saying that's enough residual rights to...
Our first explanation of Batsir was just that you're paying a smaller percentage of the profits than
25%.
Right, right. Is that if you have,
as long as there's profit sharing, right, that's it. I would have read, truthfully, if I read the Gemara like we have it in our Girsa, I would have read it that way. Right. He said below 25% is not in minority interest. You don't even have to put it, you know, from an accounting perspective, you don't have to put it in the equity method anymore. It's below 25%. Okay, so that's considered too small minority interest. And then Abaye comes along and says, but you still have profit sharing, so it's not enough. Taxa, if it's a fixed rate, that's it. To me, that's the simplest way
to
read the
Gemara.
I agree with you. That is the simplest way to read the Gemara, although the problem is that all the Rishonim have this other Girsa of either Beitzim, and they have this Girsa of Taska also, whether it's what Taska is.
So who has the Girsa of Batsir?
Batsir is the Rush brings it as a second Girsa. The Rush Prince is a circum gives says the Yish Gorsin.
And the printer.
Right, and the
I suppose says annual payment. As he tells us, is it also the Kakalashon?
So that's there might be a different right. So there's another task.
What difference does that make? Monthly.
Right. Oh, so that might have to do, we're gonna see about the machlokas, whether if you prepaid the rent. If you prepay the rent, maybe he can't kick you out versus if you don't prepay the rent. That's gonna be a machlokas. But we'll get in a second. The other possibility of Taska is from the word tax. Okay, that basically there's a government tax on the property. There's property tax. So what you do is you make an agreement that this guy becomes like our nona, right? The goyim of our nona, and that the renter becomes responsible for the our nona. And the rent is actually the our nona. The paying the tax is the rent. Okay, so he says as long as you cover the tax, the government tax on the property, you can use it. Right, they have this agreement. It's a life agreement. It's an interesting agreement here. They have a life agreement, and he cannot get out of it, meaning that it's sold to his family is the landlords of the property, that only if you fail to pay the taxes. Okay, so as long as you pay the taxes on the property, it's all yours to use. If you fail at some point to pay the taxes, then the property rights will revert back to the landlord. So that means that he really has full ownership. As long as he's paying taxes, he's got really full ownership over it.
You get nothing in your pocket, though.
Right, you get zero. You're just protected from paying taxes. You don't have to pay taxes. That's what he's saying. That's the other possibility of what tax is. I think you could have come up with a...
It seems to be a drain on your...
Right. You don't have much money either, unless the guy defaults.
There's people here that, you know, there's people that rent out their homes for only the cost of the mortgage.
Right. I think that's the equivalent, something equivalent to that, which is a mortgage, the cost of carrying the property is the tax.
Capital value, you still have
the because you're taking down, right? You're taking down the mortgage in that case, which is giving him principal rights in there, which is not here. In here, it sounds like all principal rights are given off, and you just have to cover the tax. But it says, you can't afford to, the family couldn't afford to keep up the property, but they didn't want to give up their rights. So they gave it to him and said, as long as you cover the government tax on it, you know, that'll be sufficient for you to keep the property. That's the other possibility to explain Tasca, and that's easy to understand why, in that case, he doesn't have any residual rights in the bathhouse. Okay? So that's the Gemara, the simple part of the Gemara. But we're getting back to, you good? So that's it. Otherwise, now we get back to our question yesterday about Sechirus. Right, the ability to eliminate. What happens if you take a nether? Can you bump the silker out by taking in a nether? So now, what we've talked about until now, or possibly talked about until now, is third party versus actual owner. Right, there's two possibilities of what he could take. The landlord could take two different types of nether. He could take a nether against the renter. He can say, you renter cannot get any hanah from my property. That's one possibility. The other possibility, he says, takes the third party and says, you cannot get hanah from me. And the question is whether his being the landlord has any impact on this third party entering the bathhouse. So that's one point. We don't know. It's not clear which of these two it is. That's one. Number two is, the biggest problem comes up from a Gemara in Erech, and I think it's a Gemara in, Herachim, yeah. Here, we'll read the Gemara. Maybe we'll read this Ron. We have a lot of fun, little fun. We have some time, right? Yeah, we have a couple of minutes. Let's read the Ron. All right, have some fun about this. Abaye, it's a Ron. It says Abaye Amar bebeitzim asur, and then right after it says Hechi dami the shari the makabel taska, right? Alright, so you guys see that? It's on that same line, Makabo Taska. Shainu notel chelek hayadu berevach amerchatz. He doesn't take any percentage of the profits. Elis noten loschar dvar katsuv l'shena. He gives him a fixed yearly rate or annual rate for it. Kohi gaiv neistak leibar amerchatz mimerchatz ol gamrei. He's totally eliminated his ownership from here. Ve'ikav meida kashmaitim. There are people who say, v'afilu kahaya agav neichashari. How could he come in? Tami komakom gufa merchatz shela maskirhu. Since the landlord still has rights in the property, I mean, it is his property, and he could even eliminate the socher. I mean, he could restrict the socher, the renter, from using it, so why can't he restrict the third party from using it? Even though he's given away all rights in the sense that the socher has usage rights, but in the end, it's still his underlying property. This is from the Gemara. What happens? A person rents out a property to his friend, and then he's mocked the shit under him. The landlord is mocked the shit after the rental's out. Hadar, right, Hadar bo, malas kar the hektish. The one who's living there's gotta pay rent to hektish. Umik minin law, shikdishu maskir. That what? It's a case where the landlord was mocked the shit, the soker malas kar the hektish. Bakshinan hasam. So all of that would sound simple. All you do is change ownership, and who cares? He pays rent to the new owner. That happens all the time. Yeah. Landlord sells the property of an apartment building, he sells the apartment to someone else. The rental agreement stays in place, and you just pay to the new owners. That's not a
big deal.
Right. Bakshinan hasam. This is where the problem comes from. Bakshinan hasam. Hadarbo, malas kar the hektish. Heki darbo, me'ilakoi. How can you live in it? There's me'ila. So there you go. Now you've run into a problem. Alma. What do you see from this? This what, you know, changes everything. Alma yokol asra la socher. He is able to restrict it on the socher. Came into gufa karka shalom.
What is the answer there?
It is. It's a problem. He can't live there because it's a mila. Yeah, it's a problem of mila. He's moel. If he lives there, it's moel.
So what if the gizbor has property, he rents it out too?
If gizbor rents it, now gizbor can sell property. I don't think he rents it out. I don't know. That's a good question. The Gemara never really.
There's pidyon.
Yeah, exactly. To my knowledge, the Gemara only talks about reselling the property, not renting the property from the gizbor. That's an interesting concept. If Tadjiks could rent out.
Right? Yeah. What if you rent it for a fifth above the property value? No.
They usually sell the ownership. Because the very keepers of the opinion in Shkolim, the very keepers of the opinion that Hektish is not a business.
Not a business?
Right. It's not a business. I mean, those beg to differ.
Well, the advantage is over regular business, but why can't they maximize their return? They don't buy solace forward,
they don't trade in Yayin and stuff like that, because they don't want to, Hektish does not want to be involved in business. Maybe that's below Hektish to be involved in business. All right. So here, if he can definitely restrict the socher, then he's certainly in Shkolim. Yes, very good. Yeah, that's very good. Exactly. He certainly can restrict others. So even without profit sharing, or without him having residual rights in the property, why should it be mutar here? So this is the question that all the Rishonim have to deal with, is this Gemara and Erica. This Gemara and Erica throws a monkey wrench in the argument. Argument seems to say, which the simplest understanding, how any, you know, if you were to ask me, from a business standpoint, what makes sense? I would say to you, you're right, if he has percentages of the profits, then it makes sense that he can restrict you because, or you're going there as benefiting, it's getting benefit from him because he still owns a percentage of the property. Whereas if he doesn't have any rights, he's rented out totally, then the socher really is taking full rights to the property now, and then his being landlord is not to do anything with you going to the merchatz. That's between him and the renter, but your relationship going to the merchatz is all between you and their renter, not the renter, not you and the landlord. And that's how I would have learned it simply, and that's the way our Gemara reads, pretty simply. Problem is this Gemara in Erekin, which seems to say that you could be the landlord, could be makdish the property, and bounce the renter out. Right, which is, you know, right, as you know, I know you're cringing at being bad law, right, but that's the truth is that he has the ability. So now that Rishonim have to deal with that, how do we reconcile our Gemara with this Gemara in Erechim?
You said the problem with even the third party coming in and using it is that the fact that the landlord is not opposite is benefiting him.
Right. Oh, that's interesting, right? The way the Ron just simply formulates it is that if he can bump the socher, then he certainly can tell someone third party don't show up. Meaning that he has enough rights to bump the socher, he has enough rights to tell someone else not to show up. That's the way the Ron formulates it. Alright, so now the Ron's gonna give Tirtu Batoshos. There's the Ein Hakanami. Shim Asra Toa Merchatz Beferish Chal Isurei. Same Kimu Shalos. That's why I corrected before. Somebody said that he ushered him in the bathhouse. That's not the case. Tosfos says you're right. The difference here has to do with how he formulated the nether. If he formulated the nether to say, you may not go to my bathhouse, then that would stand. That'd be like the Gemara in Erechim where he's makdish the specific house. Right? Whereas, of a hocha, skip down one line, the hocha, mudar hanom, nechasov, stamayri. Right? Here he's saying, just generally, I'm restricting you in hanom. Main dako, mashahiskir. So this goes back to our Gemara earlier, that he doesn't have in mind. This is already out of his realm of ownership. Since he's rented it out, when he says, I must have been, you're also banah, he includes only things that he still has real ownership over, not stuff that he's rented out. So once we have this question, we just had this Gemara on Shabbos, and the Gemara over there concluded that even when you're mocking or something, right, it's still within your purview to Aser Banah. Right, that was the whole point of the Gemara. The Gemara rejected the explanation in Rabbi Yossi. The reason for Rabbi Yossi was that Hefer is Kimatana. Why? Because we said that even after someone makes something Hefer, they still include it in their nether. Doesn't matter. And we rejected that Havamino. It's not comparable. When a person says that's anything that's in his possession, the fika, kimshen hefker, a dying hefker, right? Matana matana. Since when you give something or you give hefker, according to that understanding of Rabbi Yossi, it doesn't enter the other person's possession until they take it. Until then, it's in your possession. They are in your possession. Something that's left your possession, even for temporary period, meaning that you're renting it out. Since now it's not in your possession, ain't that the last row? That's the one possibility. Tosas answers up.
According to the interpretation of Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara is only rejected.
Right, that is true. But it, again, that the Gemara's hapamino is that hefker is included right, in that context of understanding Rabbi Yossi that way. Right, we're not sure that if a regular hefker, I would assume that the Gemara does not feel that way about it, that it's included in your purview, because hefker when regularly means it leaves your possession, and that wouldn't be in your purview. All right? Right, by the chacham, I'm saying, but not, that's exactly what I'm saying. The chacham, when you make it something hefker, and you made a nether, that'd be out of your possession. You have no rights to make that nether.
Right,
exactly. Rabbeinu Tam's Alteirich. So Rabbeinu Tam has another reason. So that's Tosos. Tosos says it's different than how you formulate the nether. If you're makdish this specific thing, or if you're aser this specific item, then you can get the socher out, you can bump the socher, you can, right, restrict someone else in hana. But if you just make a general iser hana, this item would not be included. That's the way the Tosos learns. It's still a bad law, because again, if you don't like your renter, you can bounce him, right? Rabbeinu Tam's Alteirich, no. The dafka gabi hektish. This is unique to Hektish. Mishum the Hektish, mafkir midei shibut. And that's because Hektish can eliminate shibut, can eliminate liens. Right? Avahaka. So that's Avahaka, Gabi Konamot. Very good. So that's our Gemara. We said Konamot, mafkir midei shibut. Apagav the mafkir midei shibut. What about Konamot? They also eliminate shibut. He's a repair kafal pi, repair kvach in the chilton. Hani mile bekonim klali, kain Hektish. That's only when you make it into a general konim like Hektish. What does a general konim mean? That you restrict this on everybody. Like, just like Hektish, or we had this earlier in the Gemara a little bit, that when the Gemara was asking about Konamot, whether Konamot have Mi'ilah or not, right? That was the Gemara's question in the Dharm, did Konamot have Mi'ilah? So Gemara there differentiated between, or possibly, differentiated between whether the konim is a konim klali, it looks like Hektish, you restrict it on everybody in the world, or you only restrict it on one individual. If you restrict it on everybody in the world, it could look like Hektish, and therefore you can have Mi'ilah. But if you restrict it on one individual, there's no Mi'ilah, right? Because it doesn't look like Hektish. So the Rabbeinu Tam saying the same thing. Konamot mafkim de shibut is only when they look like Hektish. When they look like Hektish, when you restrict it to everybody. If you restrict it to a specific individual, then it doesn't look like Hektish, and it's not mafkia de shibut.
It seems that we concluded it if it were a regular chalais, and then that in that case, there would be Mi'ilah.
Only when it's everybody.
When it's everybody.
Right, right, yeah. Right. That was the Ron's. All right, we'll get back to those machlokes, the Ron and the Rambam, who's Chayiv over there in the Mi'ilah.
Right. Right.
Who's the one responsible?
Right.
Who's the responsible party? Right. Well, Kohen Prati, but if you have an individual, now there came into law, Dami La Hektesh, Amur the Rabban on the Shibud, the Echlolithkele. The Rabban strengthened his Shibud enough that you can't bump him out. The only way you can bump it out is if you restrict this object to everybody in Hanah, right? But not to this. Right, so that's the Harino time. If you drop down one line, just exactly from where you are on the Ron, it says the Alcherim Tirtsu. Right, so this is a third answer. Died a Perik Mishkale Alai below Hiktim Skar Lamaskia. Okay, so this is, right, the difference, and this is why you see all these, the Rishonim saying here that he gave him the money for a year. Okay, why? Because the difference is, and this is the third opinion here, is that right, is that it depends if you paid him up front or didn't pay him up front. Mm-hmm. If you paid the shiris, if you paid the rental up front, then you've got full ownership for the year. Whereas if you're paying in arrears, right, if you pay rent in arrears, then the landlord really has control, right, until you pay. So that's the difference. So the difference, according to these opinions, is the Gemara in Erekin's talking about where the socher is paying either month to month or he's paying in arrears, and therefore the landlord could bounce him out because he hasn't he doesn't really own it until he pays for it till later.
Like he pays the rent, how can he pay?
What?
He could refuse to take the rent.
Right, exactly. He could say, listen, you're paying. It's basically a month to month. He's really renting it month to month, and then he can bounce him on a month to month basis. Whereas if you pay for the whole year, the socher is taking the ownership for that year, and therefore you can't bounce him. So I don't know if it's a contractual. Right, the Gemara doesn't. This you don't mention as a contractual type of arrangement of whether that when you prepay for the year, basically that you're contractually obligated to give him the whole year, and when he pays month to month, you can bump him at any point along the way because that's what it means. It's month to month. It's not a full contractual obligation. That's what it seems to be from these Rishonim, although they don't explicitly say it. They just differentiate between whether if you pay upfront or you pay in arrears. And if you pay in arrears, you can bump the landlord can bump him because. You know, that you haven't paid for your property. You don't own it yet because you haven't paid for it.
It's not like the case of being makdash, right?
Yeah. So the case where he's makdash and it works is the case where he's paying in arrears, and therefore the landlord can bump him because you didn't prepay for the whole year. You don't own it yet. Whereas in our case over here,
he doesn't have the right to be makdash,
because he doesn't have enough ownership to do it, right? Over there, he does have enough ownership. Whereas our Gemara over here is a case where he is. Right? He pays upfront for the year, and therefore he can bump him out because the landlord's basically out of the picture. Once he pays for the whole year, the landlord's as if he has no rights left in it.
Now, right, I'm wondering about the year. Paying upfront for a month, let's say, wouldn't seem to do it.
Right. That's why all the Rishonim can say that he paid for a full year in advance. Yeah. Right. I don't know. A month doesn't sound like it's enough, according to this. Right?
Well, also because a month, all I have to do is wait for the end of the month before he gets the next concern. Whereas a year,
it's not so clear. To be honest with you, the rabbinic, now we're going to go to the Ran. The Ran rejects all of these explanations. Okay? No surprise, but the Ran, and we know that because we learned the Ran yesterday, and the Ran says that you can bump off the socket. All these explanations say, what? That our Gemara is different than the Gemara in Erekin. Right? And they say what? The Gemara in Erekin says you can bump, our Gemara says you can't bump. So everybody tries to come up with an explanation of how it's different. So what Tosfos says, what is, Tosfos' answer has to do with, we said that the difference between this is that the about the what you have your mind on, right? The Tosla says that it depends what's in your purview, what's in your reshus. Right? If you rent it out, right, it's outside of your realm of your reshus, and therefore you would not, right? You would not be included in your nether. Rabbeinu Tam differentiated between Hekdesh and Konamot. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam differentiated between Hekdesh, which you can bump off a Shibud, and Konamot, where you can't bump off a Shibud. We know that Konamot do bump off a Shibud. That's only when it's a Konamot that looks like Hekdesh. That was Rabbeinu Tam.
Right?
So that doesn't work. The first Tosfos answer was that the Merchatz could be Asered when it's his, but when you're here, he gave a Moser ben Chanan because of Stam Ari. He didn't specify the back house. He said a general Yisr Hana. When he says a general Yisr Hana, we don't include items that he's rented out to other people, because that's not what he has in his mind. It's not his purview. But the Gemara in Erekin is talking about a case where he specifically said this house. When he identifies the house, he can bump you up.
That's
right.
That's specifically what
she said. Right. So that's Rabbeinu Tam. That was Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam, which just said Konamot versus Hekdesh. And the last answer of the other he's shown him is whether he prepaid or didn't prepay. That's the answers we have. All these differentiate between the Erekin and our Gemara. Now, the Ron says no. He says that, guess what? That you can. Our Gemara is exactly like that, and you can bump up. So that, if you look in the second to last line, we'll try to do this stuff less easily. Right, the second to last line in the Ron on this page, Ranik Bar Kadapti, is what we read together in the Mishnah yesterday. Ranik Bar Kadapti Mishnatenu, Tafilu Konim Prati, Tafilu Hibdim Skar Socher, doesn't matter if it's a Konim Prati, that goes against the Rabbeinu Tam. Doesn't matter if you pay up front, that goes against the Tosafot. Right? Matsi Maskir Lasur Alav, you can bump him, doesn't matter. Batchina and Leitrei Peruke Betrai. He says, and I'll knock off two other answers that are given here. So Rachirim Teretz Oud, I'm Muskarim Dachal, I'm Muskarim Gains Chirus Akar the Alma. It's not regular type of rentals that are done in other places. Belongs to the buyer forever, and he can pass it on to his children. He paid a fixed amount. This is different than what we said about the taxes, but he pays a fixed amount. So that's why he can't bump them over here. That's one other reason. And okay, so here, Vitimani, let's see, do you guys have the same setup? Yeah, we see where the word Tosvos is in your, come on, right across from there, it says Vitimani in the Ran. I don't know if you can see that in the Ran, Vitimihani. It's the last word on a line after a dot in the Ran, Vitimihani.
You guys are a little different format.
All right, Vitimani Aliyam, he talks about all the Rishonim. Fish Ani Omer, he can get Hanok. Why? So the Ran Lashitato says the masker, the landlord, can bump the socher out. That is only when what? He offers the socher himself, or he offers everybody, which includes the socher. Why? He's able to eliminate the shibud of the socher. But what's our case over here? This is what I was telling you before. It's not clear in our case who the landlord asked. But he's trying to ask a third party, local amenu. What rights does he have to do this? To came to Starley Shibuda the Socher, he had the Shibuda the Socher, Shamuda Anol, Lom Gladir, who Nene, Elamina Socher, Kanir Eli, the Dabar Borer, who. So it's very clear to me that, according to all these opinions, all right, we'll just finish up all these lines here. I don't want to read this, is too confusing. This is a part about the Rabbanan. So this is the Ran's answer. The Ran's answer is, I disagree with all these Rishonim, and the Gemara in Erechin rules, meaning that the masker can always knock the socher out. Okay, he can mark them out, whether it's a konamot, whether it's hekdesh, so eliminate the remaining time. Even konim prati, I can knock you out. Right? Knock out the other, even when he's malas skar, even if he prepays the rent, I can knock him out. So knock down out the other Rishonim. Right? Even, right, according to the Tosfos, where he doesn't specify, it doesn't matter what he specifies, mudr hano, means you're out, you can knock out. The Ran makes one differentiation, and he says, the question is, who the landlord is restricting. Right? Because the socher has a shibud here. That we know. Socher has rights in the property because he's renting it. So what do we say? We say that a neder or a hekdesh can eliminate those rights. That's only when the neder or the hekdesh is directed at the socher. Right? By hekdesh, obviously it's directed at the socher because hekdesh is to everybody. But the Ran says what? That's only when you have the ability to knock out the shibud. How can you knock out the shibud? It's when you take a neder directed at the socher, or you take a general neder on everybody, and the socher is included. Then you can eliminate the shibud of the socher, and then your ownership rights come to bear, and you can do it. But if we're talking about another guy in the shuk, Reuven, who's walking around the shuk, and Shimon's the socher, and you say to Reuven, you can't get any enough from me, then when Reuven goes to the Beit HaMerchatz, who's he benefiting from? He's benefiting from Shimon, because Shimon still has the shibud. Your neder does not have the ability to eliminate the shibud. Why? Because it wasn't directed at that easement. It wasn't directed at those rights.
So the landlord can affect the third party. The only way he can do so is make a general including the
socher, bumping the socher. Right. He has to get rid of the shibud of the socher, which is blocking his rights. His rights to the property are blocked by the socher's rights, which are the socher shibud on the property.
So he can abrogate them, but if he doesn't, he has no control over it.
Exactly.
Them.
Very good. Right. So that's what the Ran says.
It's very tough to understand the Ran. That a masker can actually do that.
Right. So that's okay. So that's the question. You have general questions.
That just undermines the whole institution of.
Why would anybody
realizing that risk? Why would anybody ever sign a steward agreement?
Right.
You can't do that.
Right.
You have to protect. Right. But the problem with these are that these Nadarm are so strong. Hekdesh is so strong that you can eliminate shibudim, right? So maybe here, when you say amul the shibude, they strengthen the shibud enough. That we have a concept in the Gemara that you can extend the shibud can be so strong that a neder can't eliminate it. That's why we have a shibud abal, shibud isha, right? The Gemara said that the shibud is so strong that hekdesh can't eliminate it or neder can't eliminate it. So maybe by making a condition in the contract, that would make the shibud strong enough that you cannot eliminate. But again, because of that, you have, according to Ron, you don't eliminate the bad business issue. All the other rishonim try to eliminate that issue by differentiating the Gemaras. Right? Ron says, no. Gemara's right and Erechin's right, and that is the rule. It happens to be our Gemara is discussing another topic, which is a third party, and that's why it doesn't have impact over here. All right, let's stop here.